Michael Flynn Jr. Veterans Day emotional rap .ogg.
I wish we had already quashed the beef with Rappaport so we could come on and play Flynn Jr.
Flynn and Flynn Jr. are more like if Frasier and Niles Crane like just lived in a closed garage with exhaust going on for 20 years, kind
of. I always kind of imagine a filial version of John Goodman and Bill Forsyth from Raising Arizona.
That's a good one.
They get Gulon in the car, but then the paint packet in his pocket goes off.
They leave Gulon on the roof right away.
How were they going to fuck it up to capture Gulon?
It was brilliant. They were going to pick a big bear trap, put it outside Gulon's compound, and put a Quran in the middle.
It was like a doner kebab and a Quran. They for sure were going to somehow, like through some idiotic machination, somehow capture Chapo Guzman and send him to Turkey and be like, what? It's the same. They look the same. Just use that one.
No, here's what you do. You go to the State Department. You put out a big banner outside. You put advertisements in all the newspapers saying, you know, one day only funding rebels for foreign governments. We're going to give you an army. We're going to give you money. And then it doesn't matter if you have a warrant or anything. And they all come in. That's when you just nab them. Yeah, the whole free boat scam.
They would have absolutely done it. They wouldn't have used like Blackwater mercs or anything. They would have just tried to throw a big net over Gulon and got tangled up in it.
Well, we mentioned Raising Arizona, but the Michael Flynn Jr. Kidnap plot is easily the most Coen Brothers shit.
Insane.
Like, yes. Ever.
So great. The NoFap general and his idiot fucking son.
His Pizzagate investigator son.
Who tagged InfoWars in his pregnancy announcement for his wife.
He did do that. He did do that, though.
Imagine these fucking dumbasses like going to Turkey trying to capture, like, to get Gulon associates, and Mike Jr. sees a triangle he doesn't like on a kebab shop.
Yeah. They build a human-sized model of the mousetrap board game contraption. Just get him with a fucking basket on his neck.
Yeah, they're like, how did you fall into a barrel of molasses in 2017? You don't even have those anymore. You two somehow live in a Laurel and Hardy universe concurrently with
everyone
else.
Let me just read from the Wall Street Journal story on this. It says, Special Counsel Robert Mueller is investigating former White House National Security Advisor Mike Flynn's alleged role in a plan to forcibly remove a Muslim cleric living in the U.S. and deliver him to Turkey in return for millions of dollars. Federal Bureau of Investigation agents have asked at least four individuals about a meeting in mid-December at the 21 Club in New York City, where Mr. Flynn and representatives of the Turkish government discussed removing Mr. Gulon, according to people with knowledge of the FBI's inquiries. The discussions allegedly involved the possibility of transporting Mr. Gulon on a private jet to the Turkish prison island of Imrali, according to one of the people who has spoken to the FBI.
The Turkish prison island. In large sacks with big dollar signs.
And then during the dinner, Flynn Sr. flung an olive that accidentally fell into the decolletage of an old dowager, causing a pie fight that took over the entire 21 Club.
I love the idea of the AKP psychos, several of which like spent years in prison to finally ascend to power. Just some of the hardest, fucking scariest people in that part of the world. Against Michael Flynn, the fucking dumbass who just kind of showed up and was good at connecting thumbtacks to string on a board and like had to get fired because
I'm fairly certain that's the prison island they were going to send him to is the one where Ocalan is, right?
Yep.
I think that would be an amazing meeting of the minds, Gulon and Ocalan. They could come out of that with some sort of syncretic Islamo-anarcho-syndicalism that would then basically save the earth.
I picture it as like the island from The Prisoner.
Yeah, giant soap bubbles absorbing people.
I picture it like...
I was thinking there would be like large apes on it.
Hell yeah.
That would be...
Guardian apes. Mm-hmm. Guardian apes of Gahool.
I was picturing it like the prison in Face Off.
Yes.
One of the greatest prisons ever depicted on film. I love how it's just introduced. Yeah, there's a giant undersea prison on an oil derrick where you've got fucking electric
magnetic boots
that keep you from running away.
I mean, that turned out to be incredibly unrealistic, not because the government wouldn't do something that evil, but because it would have been run by contractors and fucked up constantly.
Absolutely. There's no way those magnets would have worked.
Yeah.
Those like Halliburton would have sold them those magnets. But no, Flynn is fucking cool. He was trying to secure $15 million for his son's emotional rap career.
Well, that is it, isn't it? Because presumably Flynn, I mean, he's a guy, he didn't join the military and become a career soldier for the money. Presumably he is animated by this holy war view of the world as a clash of civilizations between the West and the godless Orient. You know, the idea of him just turning and deciding in his final years, I'm going to just try to get the biggest paycheck. I don't think that seems really in character for him. I think that his son, his oafish nitwit son, has somehow put him into a vast jackpot that he's frantically trying to get out of.
I mean, I don't know. Those guys like switch their view of the world all the time. I mean, Flynn always talked about
consistent, but I agree. He's a true believer in whatever he believes in at that moment.
Yeah. No, they flip around their geopolitical beliefs all the time. So, like Flynn before AKP just dangled a publisher's clearinghouse check in front of him. It was like, you know, Erdogan's an Islamist. He's doing deals with ISIS, blah, blah, blah. Like a lot of which was true. But then they were like, what if you could – what if – I don't know what Michael Flynn buys with this money. Probably like slippers with the 101st Airborne Division logo on them. You can buy
Jag
a bunch of
merchandise.
Those. Yeah, just – yeah. He's like, why do you keep buying box sets of Jag? What if I lose one? That's tactical preparedness.
You want duplicates. Yeah. You want Jag redundancy. That's just professionalism.
Yeah, so then – I mean, then he finds out about Gulen and he's like, oh, he's more Islamic. That's worse. And also I get my – but, like, those guys do that all the time. Like, Trump famously spent the campaign talking about how Saudi Arabia did 9/11. And then he goes there, and they're nice to him, like, once. And he's like,
yeah.
Actually, they didn't.
I still think that Michael Flynn Jr. bought $100 million worth of Dale Earnhardt memorabilia on credit. And now they owe it big time with interest. And so they got to get the cash any way they can.
Michael Flynn
Well,
Jr.
no, he didn't lose it all on the Earnhardt merchandise. He also bought a bunch of Jeff Gordon merchandise to make an effigy. That's how strongly
that's just,
he feels.
That's just wasting money. He bought a bunch of pumpkin futures and held them too long, like Homer Simpson.
He
invested in tulips and he didn't see the bubbles.
If I'm really getting into Mike Jr. mindset, would I really think the thing that got him on Hawk was gambling on esports? It's absolutely that.
Don't bet against the South Koreans.
No, he definitely
he bet
did that.
He bet on like a people from a country with very slow internet.
He's like, give me 3 million markers on Malta. He was like Le Chiffre, but with esports.
I thought the Lithuanians were due.
I just think it's touching that like it's a father and son project to work on together. It's just like when
Trump
like,
never works with his sons.
No.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
It's like if you and your dad,
little boy, are going to catch the galoon.
It's like if you and your dad restored like a classic car together, or dreamed up a cockamamie semi-treasonous plot to kidnap a charter school
to a
Turkish prison island.
I could do Field of Dreams with my dad, where we have some caper involving helping the Syrian government.
Like at the end where he's like, Dad, do you want to play catch? But he's like, Dad, do you want to kidnap a Turkish expatriate and send him to a prison island?
At the end of the day, everyone making fun of the Flynns, including us, is jealous of them.
Everyone
wishes they had a relationship with their dad.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Michael Flynn is a thought. He's a pog.
He's a snack.
He's a freaking nasty hoe.
Well,
he looks
he's
good.
A goddamn meal. Yeah. He's not even a snack.
Well, I was going to say, the
messy bitch.
The thing that
I love
Strava.
Michael Flynn to bust my pussy open and tell me about the Islamic designs on the world. I want Michael. If a guy shows up with a fucking clenched jaw and a copy of Guerrilla Mindset, he can hit my back walls any fucking time of day, dude. If a guy's like, I got fired in two federal level intelligence positions because I'm really stupid, I'm like, just fucking take a caterpillar bulldozer to my pussy. Like it's the West Bank, dude.
Okay.
Okay, we are back after that lengthy intro, that lengthy tour through our mind palace, to give you our promised election coverage almost a week late.
You guys were all, you were popping bottles, you were all excited, and it's time to talk about
it. I would say, I guess the headline from the elections on Tuesday
is mostly Virgil over Matt. Last week, we had a gentlemanly prediction of who would win the Virginia governor's race. And Matt, I believe you said Gillespie by two.
I didn't give a number. I said a squeaker.
Okay. So two and I said, I believe, Northam by 1.5 or two.
Yeah, so you were wrong too, buddy, because he blew him out.
Without going over, Ralph Northam won the governor's race by a 9-point landslide.
Wow. The largest victory by a Democrat in the Virginia governor's race in over 30 years.
All three Republicans at the top of the ticket lost, though Gillespie lost by the biggest margin, suggesting possible blowback against his blood and soil ad campaign.
Can we talk about the ad campaign, though?
The dangerous street gang, MS-13, are responsible for the recent murder in Bedford County.
MS-13 is a menace, yet Ralph Northam voted in favor of sanctuary cities that let dangerous illegal immigrants back on the street.
It was like the MS-13 ads and stuff like that. Like, a lot of people said that spurned a lot of backlash.
People like MS-13. They think that they're cool.
Dude, having tattoos on your face is cool. Yeah. People like it. It
was killing people with a machete, that requires a work ethic and the kind of thing that it doesn't take to just pull a trigger.
It was MS-13, Confederate monuments, restoring voting rights to felons, and I believe one mailer said something along the lines of, it showed pictures of NFL players kneeling. And it's like, you're not going to kneel on election day.
Yeah. I think, all right, this definitely shows that I was wrong in one respect, is that you can't run the Trump playbook if you are John Q. establishment RNC stuffed shirt. Yeah. That's right. Not going to work.
Well, and also just like purely cultural politics probably doesn't work as well at a local level. Like it's the federal office that really benefits from that pure psychosis.
Yeah, because people genuinely do have a understanding of their governor as someone who will directly impact their life in a way that they maybe don't with a president.
Though Gillespie,
he's more of a mascot to us.
Exactly.
Gillespie won where he wanted to win. He flattened the Democratic ticket in the western rural Appalachian parts of the state, but it wasn't enough. Northam's win was powered by huge turnout by college-educated white voters in suburban areas.
In Raytheon Acres.
The hashtag resistance has spoken.
Nate Cohn also says Justin Fairfax, a progressive African-American lieutenant governor nominee, actually did the best out of the three top-ticket Democratic candidates in the rural West.
That guy, what was his name again?
Justin Fairfax.
Fairfax. His victory would cut against the line that's coming out after the Northam win, which is like, this is what Democrats need to do. Just be a centrist. Be basically a Republican like Northam is.
Well, I view it as more, this is a wave. These people were going to vote for anything, even a wet napkin like Ralph.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, everyone was fucking owning me on the internet on Tuesday for being wrong in my prediction. Oh, we're not in hell world, bitch. Fuck you. Guess what? You're celebrating the fact that Ralph fucking Northam is the governor of Virginia. That's as hell world as it gets, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You are still deeply ensconced in hell world.
Oh, yeah. Northam fucking sucks. And, like, just during the campaign, he couldn't keep it together when Gillespie would be like, you like gangs, to be like, no, I don't. I'm going to personally root out the gang. Like, that level of weakness is not going to translate.
And I honestly wonder, I mean, would it have worked better if instead of just walking bag of money in a suit at Gillespie, those charges had been made by, I don't know, Tim Allen or a Tim Allen as a celebrity
or
Nugent
or
somebody
Corey
with fucking
Stewart.
Charisma.
Corey Stewart.
An outsider, yes, exactly, yeah. Corey Stewart.
The crazy guy who was too crazy for the Trump campaign got fired from it and then almost barely beat Gillespie in the primary, just barely lost that, and said after the election, well, you know what happened? Trump Stewart voters did not come out to vote.
Maybe he was right.
Yeah,
who knows?
Probably.
Now,
probably.
Those people came out, but they were swamped by people who hate the president in D.C. land. I mean, Trump has an approval rating less than 40% in that state.
The only place where, like, National Review writers can actually influence an election is when them and all their servants come out to vote in Nova
and smack down Corey Stewart for being the wrong type of racist.
But the huge result, absolutely nobody expected. Democrats picked up at least 15 seats in the House of Delegates. Three more seats will likely go to a recount, including one where the Republican has a lead of just a dozen votes. If Democrats pick up just one, the House will be tied. If they pick up two, they will take control of the chamber for the first time in nearly two decades. And that's a wave election. And one of the big reasons why they took so many seats there was because they had candidates in the vast majority of districts, districts that aren't targeted. In prior elections, you know, half of these Republicans will go just totally unchallenged because everyone thinks, oh, you know, they've been in office, they're incumbent, you know, they're just
Several
keep being there.
Several Republicans were defeated having been unopposed just in the last election.
Among the winners, Danica Rome became the first openly transgender person to win NBC in a state legislature. She ran a pragmatic campaign about local issues like road congestion to beat the utterly depraved Bob Marshall, author of a bathroom bill, co-sponsor of that infamous transvaginal ultrasound bill, and who pointedly misgendered Rome throughout the campaign.
Damn.
And Lee Carter, open socialist and DSA member, beat the House GOP whip.
With no support from the state Democrats. Mm-hmm. They basically cut him loose when he wouldn't get on board with the messaging.
And, you know, I mean, it just goes to show you that a rising tide lifts all boats. This district where the socialists won, you know, that's D.C. land. That's you know, D.C. northern suburbs. These aren't like, this wasn't a working class revolution. These are people who showed up because they're mad at Trump. They're mad at the status quo. They have a revulsion to Gillespie's campaign, to the Republicans in Washington. So they're going to go down and they're going to vote for the Democrat on the ballot. And, you know, you see it, you saw it again a few years ago in the one of the Canadian federal elections where the NDP, which was the kind of to the left of the Liberal Party, when they won unexpectedly second place in that election to become the official opposition. Randos just swept into office all over Canada, especially in Quebec, where the local Bloc Québécois fell apart. And, you know, the people who won there, they were just like, you know, 20-year-olds, they were just names on the ballot.
I mean, I would love to believe that, but I think this speaks more to the ineptitude of the traditional institutions than anything else. I mean, I think it's just chaos. It's chaos that we're benefiting from, you know, at small levels, which I'm, you know, in favor of. But the idea that there's some kind of like insurgent movement behind this that's going to have any momentum past a few elections, I do not see.
Yeah, like what worries me, and what I was thinking about all yesterday or all Tuesday when people were celebrating, is that this really reminds me of 06 and of the Bush era, when you saw basically as soon as things turned against Bush and everybody finally realized, you know, the first term of Bush was all left of center people basically driving themselves insane and going, this person is a manifestly incompetent, moron, awful, criminal piece of shit. And like half of the country going like, what are you talking about? He's actually great. And feeling like they were going insane. And then in 06, when that started to change, in 05, then you had these elections and he would fuck up and his numbers would go down and you'd get happy and then Democrats would win. And then they won in 06. They finally took back Congress and it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. But it was just basically just parasitically feeding off of the incompetence and awfulness of the incumbent.
Yeah.
And culminating in the absolutely hollow, meaningless victory of Barack Obama with a coalition and with a majority in both houses that could have genuinely reshaped things in the aftermath of an absolute economic catastrophe that had been allowed to happen through deregulation. And instead, we got nothing because the resistance to Bush never had any content. It was purely negative. And when I see everyone, of course you hate Trump. Who wouldn't fucking hate Trump? He is a monstrous figure in every way. And that makes regular people revulsed by him. Thank God we finally got to that point. But their revulsion is just going to take the shape of whatever container is there. And that container is being held by an establishment that very much is not interested in seeing genuine left alternatives emerge.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I'm not arguing that there is some kind of burgeoning structural insurgent movement that's powering these races. It's just revulsion to Trump and voters who want to come out, who are excited to come out just to say, I'm opposed to the president. You know, maybe I didn't vote last year because Hillary fucking sucked, but I hate the Republicans now. They've shown their real face and they want to come out, you know, against them for anyone. And that's why I think there is an opportunity in terms of organizing just to have a name on the ballot if these harbingers of a 20 18 wave are true, to have someone in every seat in running for every office in the country, especially state legislative seats, especially when people are not going to come out because they've followed the messaging of the campaign or they've researched local candidates. They're just going to come out and hunt for a name on the ballot that's not a Republican. And I think that presents short-term opportunities. But yeah, generally, I think what you're describing is correct, that, you know, we run the risk of this being another one of those 2006, 2008, 2010 cycles that will repeat. Though also to point out that this is a pretty good time for that cycle to happen for Democrats when it comes to redistricting. Another big election result, Democrats took full control of the Washington State Senate last Tuesday, giving them control of a trifecta, the legislature and the House. The same in New Jersey. Democrats upped their number of trifectas from 6 to 8. Republicans still control like 25, 26. But after the 2018 elections, if Democrats can make some real headwinds there, they can reverse the gerrymandering that came about because Republicans won so big in 2010.
Yeah, the whole 2010 project, and they knew it and understood it, God bless them, was, okay, we see demographic changes that aren't to our liking. We've gotten this advantage. And then they used it. They created this firewall that's like, you were talking about how 2018 is going to be a wave election. I absolutely, at this point, am certain it will. Unless, of course, Trump fixes all the problems between now and
then.
He's
on his way.
Give him time. Very possible.
Yeah. Give him time.
Jobs are coming back.
Yeah. But if that doesn't happen,
there could totally be a
wave. But it's been calculated that the Democrats could beat Republicans in terms of turnout across the United States by 10 points and still not regain control of Congress because of the gerrymandering firewall that had been created.
I think 10 points would regain control of Congress, but 10 points is a massive task right there.
Right.
We saw it in Virginia, but to replicate that nationally is big. A few other like great results. Larry Krasner, the civil rights lawyer.
Yes, I have something about Krasner.
He repped Occupy and BLM pro bono. He won DA, and Wills, you're about to tell us the cops are not love having it.
This is really funny. I think we talked a little bit about Krasner.
Free Meek Mill, by the way. No, really. Meek Mill got a raw fucking deal. He really did. He got what happened to Meek Mill as like a famous millionaire rapper happens to like millions of like black people across the country all the fucking time, just getting fucked by probation terms in the DA over the course of a decade. And I hope Krasner can reverse that.
Can he free Bobby Shmurda too? Even though
he does not have that power.
Okay. Well, he should have that power.
Yeah, well, that's what the next election is about.
Are these guys civil rights activists? Who are you guys talking about? Who are these Bobby Shmurda? What is that?
The only rap Matt
lists. Is he SEIU? Who's that guy?
The only rap,
he's a political
the
prisoner.
Only rap that Matt listens to is rap from the movie credits that summarizes the plot of the film he just saw.
Whoop, okay. Adam's Family, there
yes,
it is.
That's a good song, by the way. Are you going to tell me that's a bad song? Because
no, they're great songs. They're great songs. That's what Illmatic was.
Yeah.
Illmatic was summarizing the movie Kramer versus Kramer.
That's why it was
so good.
This is, take your word for it.
So, like you said, Krasner won. He won a landslide, basically. Yeah. He won huge in Philly. And the cops in Philadelphia are not happy about it.
Oh, it's so
at
good.
All. And this is so funny. This
By the way, for quite a few of these articles, the picture they use of Krasner is him holding a puppy. Like a little happy golden retriever puppy.
So, and of course, where the cops are venting their frustrations, of course, are Facebook groups for like
so Michael Hudson can find them, baby.
Disgusted dad Philly cop community issues. But so it says on Facebook, I'm reading here from the Philadelphia Inquirer. It says on Facebook, some police officers have made clear where they stand on the matter. Officer Mark Marchetti, who changed his profile photo to Krasner's on Wednesday, began a conversation in which friends used the hashtag #NotMyDA and described Krasner in profane terms.
If your first name is also your last name, you're a cop.
As for Marchetti, he wrote, "He doesn't give me my arrest powers, so I don't care. No blood on my hands. hands when he lets the shit bags out.
Yeah, no blood on my hands when he lets the shit bags at you.
Steve Mancuso posted, he's got that look on his face you just want to wipe off with a bitch slap. But apparently, he used an asterisk for that eye because he's a gentleman. Yeah. He doesn't say swears.
Another officer, Bob Condart, responded with an image of the logo of the district attorney's office flipped upside down.
Ooh, got him.
Yeah, take
got
that, Cradner, you bitch.
Here's my favorite part.
My dad worked at an... My dad, he was a simple immigrant from Sicily. He founded a screen printing store that just screen printed the N-word. They're trying to take away that Philadelphia.
Listen to this. Marchetti's partner, Kevin Klein, posted a video of Marchetti prank calling the law office of Krasno, and Onwudinjo to congratulate Krasner on his win. The video shows a close-up of Marchetti calling the office, which is not connected to the ALEC.
He's just harassing other lawyers.
And asking a confused receptionist if Krasner was available.
Is your refrigerator running?
I love that. Thought that was a good enough own to fucking put on Facebook.
Yeah.
I love having...
It's just a prank, dude. It's just a prank.
I love having the power of life and death over anybody that I see, basically, and having no repercussions for my use of lethal force or imprisonment, and then also getting so mad at the DA that I call the Crackle Candy Bar Factory and scream at them about Colin Kaepernick.
Every other conversation on that Facebook group is about where to find authentic, quote-unquote, World War II memorabilia.
hey, guys, I know we had a big day. You know, we all prank called every business that begins with K. We're going to find Krasner eventually.
We'll get there.
Yeah, but we got to talk about family issues. Okay, for one, my son is calling himself a thought. What the fuck does that mean?
One of these people is Timmy Thick's father.
Absolutely. My son is saying he's low-key thick. I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't know if it means he's gay, he's straight. My son is fucking saying that Stephen Paddock is Zaddy. What the fuck?
I remember when we were there, we were sitting in downtown and having lunch and looking at the cops walking around. And I forget, I think it was Brian from Street Fight who said yes. They all looked like the cops who get murdered in the beginning of an action movie.
100% of them. 100% of them. They all have that I'm dying 10 days to my retirement fade, the white boy fade.
A final note on election roundup. All in all, 15 DSA members were elected across the country in places like Michigan, Montana, Pennsylvania, Iowa, and Tennessee, where Seema Singh Perez, a naturalized immigrant, will take her seat on the Knoxville City Council. But some disappointing news. Bo Dietl, endorsed by this show, came in sixth with 1% of the votes.
Sixth in a two-person race? Jesus Christ. He was in the debates. He got on stage and be like, Mayor de Blasio, you're in the words of another great New Yorker, you're fired.
He got 1% behind the Libertarian, the Green, something called like the Problem Solvers Party.
That's
my party. Yeah. That's my political party.
Jeez, that's too sad for him.
Hey, Bo, you know Abraham Lincoln lost before he won.
That's true.
Well, the Libertarian Party did so well because they're cruising after a big-time endorsement by Kevin Spacey.
The one thing that was genuinely exciting to see on Tuesday was the victory of these DSA members and independent socialists. And that really shows that, as we said, the flip side of it being sort of just a generalized, depoliticized rebellion against Trump is that they'll vote for anybody who's able to make that case the most effectively. And that is the opportunity for, at the grassroots, for DSA people and socialists to run and win in places where Democrats are weak. Because the interesting thing is that the socialists did best in places where the Democrats did not have sort of a hegemonic control over that state. In solid blue states, they did not do well.
No, not well at all. Not in the Jabari Brisport lost in the New York City.
John Grant lost in Seattle. Not to Republicans. And that just shows that the biggest obstacle, genuinely biggest obstacle to meaningful reform in the electoral sphere is the Democratic Party.
Yep. It will always be more invested in fighting the left than the right.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, this is what we said, like, right after the election. The hardest places are going to be Democratic Party Death Stars, like New York especially. And you look at it from an abstract, and we've talked about it, it's like...
You call it a Death Star because it's full of stormtroopers, right?
No, that's what happens after we change it.
Oh, okay. You know,
National Socialists. it's just like who's, you get encouraged by things like Mark Feidner's write-in campaign, but you're also like, who the fuck is voting for Cy Vance?
Exactly.
And the turnout is so low.
The Democratic Party has such a power that a manifestly corrupt, absolute shithead like fucking Cy Vance, a guy who fucking Boss Tweed would have been grossed out by, a guy who would sit in his office wearing a three-piece suit like a fucking political cartoon and have people come to him with big bags with dollar signs drawn on the side of them on behalf of absolute pieces of shit like Harvey Weinstein.
In the run of the election, it
and
came
the fucking
that,
Trump family.
Cy Vance didn't pursue charges against Ivanka and Don Jr.
They
and,
could be in jail right now.
And fucking Harvey Weinstein.
They had those fucking kids.
Happen.
They had to rights. They had emails where they're like, hey, don't worry about this fraud. The only people who know about the fraud are on this email chain.
Yeah, it's hard to catch Donald Trump Jr. in some type of crime or lie. He never just directly emails somebody and goes, ready for some crime?
And that's the thing. It was a totally uncontested race, you know, a write-in with no budget, no name recognition. I mean, if there had just been one other name on that ballot, they would have at least gotten 40% with no campaign.
He got 10% of the vote.
10%, which is with a write-in.
With a guy whose name is difficult to spell.
Yeah. I don't think it's difficult.
I mean, Will, if your name had been on the ballot, you might be the DA now.
Oh. Hmm.
That
really could.
You could free Bobby Schmurder. That's my campaign promise.
Legalize that lounge, man.
Yeah, I think I could run for political office. I could be like a Citizen Kane type figure. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
You just got to. The problem is that because.
That's your mixtape, Citizen Kane. Like
I mean,
cocaine.
Which one of us. No. Who has the cleanest record? I mean, like.
I've never
I got
arrested.
Skeletons. I got skeletons.
No, Felix is pointing to himself. No.
No way. I'm disclosing. I'm disclosing.
They're
going to
find someone that you were, you know, playing video games with at some point, and no, you'd be done for.
What is wrong with that?
I have the Bernie Sanders bio where I didn't have a real job until I was in my mid-30s.
That's true. I think Matt
people
is the
like
cleanest.
That.
Yeah,
people they, like
it was
that.
Relatable,
like
so that. That's
before
good.
Before I begin,
really, the Crocs are your biggest.
I'm running in Lebanon, where the electorate is more forgiving for things you've said during heated gaming moments.
Before I launch my campaign for Manhattan DA, I would just like to disclose up front. You know, to head off any Oppo research, I was arrested for public urination in Providence, Rhode Island when I was 16 and spent the night in jail, but I haven't had any further run-ins with the
sicko,
law.
Sicko, you can't vote for that sicko.
You know how many fucking times I've pissed in public without getting caught? Pathetic.
I submit myself to a police station when I piss without the door locked in my own apartment.
I only piss in police stations. I ask them politely.
I ask a police officer to accompany me to see if I'm not shaking it out too much.
I only piss on police stations because I'm a fucking rebel.
I only piss during Twitch streams.
That's why they call it a Twitch stream.
Yeah. And all the seed money we got from the podcast to start it, it's from the Executive Ruling Council of Singapore. All those businessmen loved watching me piss.
And they're against doing it in public.
That's my favorite.
That's why they do it. That's why they like
that's
it.
My favorite.
They can't do it.
That's
they're
my
not
favorite
allowed
Chapo.
To piss.
My favorite Chapo conspiracy theory is we got like CIA funding to start the show.
Because
we definitely needed deep state cash to rip fucking Google Hangout audio onto the fucking SoundCloud.
Yeah, that would be like the lowest budget CIA propaganda project that was ever produced.
Yeah.
Well, but biggest return for the buck, though.
Yeah.
It's like Get Out, you know? Like, think how little they spent on that movie for and how much
we are
made.
The Blair Witch Project of CIA
operations. Yeah. This is actually a good week for Chapo conspiracy theories. It began with Eric Garland dipping into my family history. That was cool.
Oh, that was
Eric found out about my pep this week and was intoning darkly about people with the same last names. Ooh. he discovered that my grandfather, Robert Owen Menaker, is one of the Americans listed in the Venona Papers, a man who died when I was 3 years old. But he was just like, a lot of these names are still around.
Yeah, it's fucked up how the government didn't just wipe out their whole line. All of them.
No,
it's very fucked up.
If our government did apply the correct theory and ideology of Hoochie theory, they would have applied the three-generation rule and wiped us all the fuck out.
Yeah, if Eric Garland believes in Juche now. Like,
he does.
I support him.
Was your grandfather named after the utopian socialist?
Yes, he was.
Owen? Well, that's a giveaway right there.
Yeah.
They should never have given him a security clearance. It's the government's own fault.
They didn't have Google back then. They didn't get the reference. It's a little esoteric.
That's another reason to vote for Felix Biedermann instead of Will Menaker. None of my family cared about shit. They didn't know shit. They didn't do shit. They had no interests. They played backgammon and streamed it over Telegraph. They were fucking cool.
Look,
the first thing they will dig up, and I know what it's going to be, my half-brother got sent home from school once because he wore a Colts jersey to his Louisiana high school. After my dad moved there after Katrina to make money, I don't know, but like putting a tarp over people's shacks.
Yeah, but that'll, if they run for president, that would be very good news in Indiana. They might win the state.
I mean, I do well in Indiana. Yeah. I get the Hoosier vote.
Yeah. I'm the only one with Christ in my name. What mid-American God-fearing rube could stumble into a fucking voting booth and see my name on the ballot with Christ right there and not fucking vote?
Matt, it's sacrilege not to vote for
exactly. Exactly. Matt, it's 2017. If a Zoroastrian is racist, they'll win.
It's like when guys change their name legally to things like pro-life and then print it on the ballot. Or low tax.
Yes. Cut. I'm changing my name to cut.
I hope they still name it that.
Change your name to You Must Mark Here.
that's why Virgil's a political correspondent.
Well, I would run the campaign, of course.
No, Virgil would be my, like, James Carville.
I think I could be the next senator from Minnesota if I moved back there.
Al Franken did it. You're following a sort of similar career path to
Al. Exactly.
I could never be elected to anything in my home state, 100% certain.
Why not?
I just don't. I don't like them. They're gross.
It's
they're stupid.
Wisconsin is
you have
idiots.
The thing that like all I think healthy people do, where you can't hate anyone more than someone who reminds you of yourself.
Yeah, no, they're awful. They sound really stupid. Their accent's one of the worst in the world.
Maybe they like it. Maybe they're all subs there, and they enjoy watching you yell at them and castigate
them. I know who wins there.
Sorry about that.
The people who win there are people who flatter their fat idiot worldview and make them say like, "Hey, I'm a fat idiot like you," and then they're like, "Ooh, this guy sounds like me. I can't do that."
That's why
I'd lose in Indiana. I don't even know who I'm kidding. It would just be immediately like, "You think you're better than me," and I'd be like, yes,
"Yeah, obviously."
That's why I left.
Yeah,
that's why I would win in Minnesota. They like being dominated, and I would dominate them. I would dom them.
No, you're right. Fucking Jesse Ventura was the governor.
That's true. You could
absolutely dom them into being. Into being your guy. Absolutely. No, you would win there. Absolutely.
Is this guy going to beat me up if he doesn't win?
Yeah.
I better vote for him.
That's right. They have to think I'm... It's Madman theory.
I think it's more about
the show Mad Men a lot. And then in season five, he finally...
He's a straight shooter.
Yeah, I'm a straight shooter. I get out there. I'm like, hey, let's give Iran total control of the Middle East and give them some of our nuclear weapons. And people are like... Well,
Minnesota governor, this really isn't his purview, but sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Yeah,
I should run in Indiana anyway, I feel like the attack ads for us would all be amazing.
I don't think I could win, but I would just like to get on stage for a debate with Scott Walker just so that I could own him for 10 minutes. Just be like, my esteemed opponent who looks like a fucking jizz-lacquered ventriloquist dummy. Just do that nonstop for 20
minutes.
My
man got that cum sheen.
Yeah.
I know exactly what Matt would do. He would get up there and be like, "Sir, have you ever read the Bible?"
You're eating a hoagie while debating.
You're doing the West Wing speech while meatball falls on the boat.
All right, I'm doing it. I'm running.
We're all running.
This is Doc's.
Let us inspire you.
Yeah.
Everyone should be running for local office.
I might actually get assassinated, but I'm willing to do this for democracy.
This is the name of the 2018 campaign where we run, all our listeners run, we fuck up it's called loco politics.
I think if you're a listener and you're not the kind that sends us these very long emails telling us about the animes you like and asking why we haven't watched them yet, I think the ballot restrictions weren't very strict. I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to get your name on there if there's nobody else in your local Democratic Party is totally decrepit.
Hey, honestly, it's a good way for you to meet people. A lot of you are single.
Yeah, knock on doors, raise a little eyebrow.
But what it is like what I'm encouraged by when I see left wing success at the electoral level, locally is. I see that, and it's like, okay, it's nice that they won that seat. But what to me is meaningful in the long term is that they won that seat as a result of local organization happening.
Yes,
of
not
grassroots,
just the
way. Of grassroots coming together of people on a horizontal axis, and then enough.
Not horizontal.
Well, I mean, locally. You can be a member of a national org, but like you have to... You have to be.
Yeah, but people are still working with institutions. I mean, the problem is in America is that we don't really have institutions.
Yeah, exactly. So that's people are making what people are doing is people are making.
Have made use of those like tiny, sickly institutions that we do have, which I think like that's one of the more encouraging things.
Yeah,
like the renewed interest in the trade unionist movement.
Yes, exactly. Unions are going to be huge, and people organizing.
You heard about these things? Unions, they're going
to
be huge.
They're going to be big deal, folks, and people are going to be working together at their workplace, and that's going to give them a chance to come into contact with other people at other workplaces at the local level, and then these elections are going to be the result of that. They're not going to come from above. They're going to come from these basically a reinvigoration of democracy at the local level, which has largely been destroyed by the two-party system draining it of any energy.
I don't know with the union thing because there's a lot of discouraging stuff. Like the UAW just like lost an election they should have won.
They did.
Ohio,
that was a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens constantly, though. I mean, like also that just the trade unionist movement in America is like a history of failure. But I am very traditional about this stuff, and there's just literally no other way to socialist politics. Yeah, it sucks. It's real garbage. We're going to have to grapple with every state becoming right to work. And that's going to be like, I'm sorry, like that's literally just the battle.
I mean,
it's just a garbage fucking prospect.
I mean, it sucks. Like, but in the like 1930s, most of the big strikes were illegal at the time. So
yeah,
I guess,
exactly.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say, guy who works on a fucking podcast. But, yeah.
You know, to put a capstone on this discussion about electoral politics, I do think in the long term it is important to seed a new generation of people who will be socialist leaders, socialist tribunes, especially when the most prominent American socialist is 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the thing. Because
Grandpa won't be around forever.
People focusing – that I think that actually – because people, the instinct to overemphasize presidential politics is built into the American system and the American narrative and everything. And that's a huge problem for the left because that's the hardest hill to climb. And, mm-hmm. and if you focus on that, you're ignoring things happening at the local level. And I think the fact that Bernie is a million years old and he is essentially the only figure of national political prominence who could be even generously described as a socialist means that the work has to be done at the grassroots because at the commanding heights, time and attrition and the DLC has basically weighed lace to that entire cadre. And so it's all going to have to be new because, Grandpa's not going to be around that long.
Yeah, I think these fights reinforce each other, you know. I mean, obviously the DSA was invigorated by not one but two failed campaigns. And, you know, having leaders on a national level who are doing good things and you can point to, especially if they actually take some executive power, even like mayorships of small cities and towns, or even medium-sized ones, I think that's very good in terms of long-term building of a grassroots movement.
Like, if you look at, the real like rise of the religious right in like the 1980s, they started with like
school
PTA.
Boards.
Oh yeah.
School
boards.
That's where Michelle Bachmann came from.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I mean, in terms of a thing that you can kind of strip of all personality politics in Maine, Medicaid expansion, which had been multiply vetoed by human fucking anal wart Paul LePage, the governor there, won overwhelmingly in a state referendum.
LePage had an amazing quote this week because he's going to try to block the Medicaid expansion.
He can't, but he's going to try.
He's a pure monster, and
he's
going to
stand in the doorway of a hospital.
he is the George Wallace of healthcare.
He can't
justice.
Come in here.
He's been bulking for this reason. I have a little theory about why Bernie's oldness actually helps him.
Because he reminds people of your grandparents.
That was just this week. That was last.
He reminds people of your one good grandparent.
No, but that's literally it.
the reason that people like Bernie and like Corbyn so much is because this stage of neoliberalism is just, it's a daycare. Everything has bright fucking pastel colors. When you like look at ads for shit, like you look at ads on the train, it's all Grubhub and like apps that help you do
basic function.
We live
in truly garish times.
Yeah. All the ads are like, you were a little goody good boy. You deserve a treaty treat today. Or like, and when you...
No, but that is the
when you call like your fucking
your life is garbage, have a sandwich.
Yeah, how do his little baby sound? And when you call your fucking garbage monopoly telecom company because your shit doesn't work, you get like a little infantilizing jingle that they play to tyrannical fat children to calm them down, like doo 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 doo. We're trying to get to you, and everything is worse. Everything's worse. Your money buys less. Half your fucking income is going to rent. You're a fucking baby. All these apps do basic things for you because you have no time anymore.
And they never work
because your boss.
My iPhone won't even say I.
Yeah.
Hydration alert.
You need a fucking app to remind you to drink water because your boss now is like your principal. They can call you at any time to get you in trouble for anything. School never ends. And you, when you're on the phone with your principal, you're on the phone with a fucking infantilizing customer service, or just everything in this world seems like a daycare. You want an adult to break through and yell at somebody. And that's Bernie. That's your fucking angry grandfather who at least respects you to tell you how things are. And that's Corbyn. And I think that's why people have a little bit of why people have an emotional connection to them.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
That's also good. Like people don't, this idea that someone being old and dusty and like that being a huge check against them, like that's such a middle class thing.
People
that's
love
such
their
a
grandparents.
That's such a cul-de-sac, like shut up, dad. That's such a fucking like no dad's bullshit thing. Like it's like actually that's a you problem. Most of us have kind of made our peace with our parents.
No, I mean like my mom
watched a little too much PBS. She did a pretty good job. Like it's fine.
Your resentment about your parents is really that you hate yourself
Corbyn. And you want someone to blame.
See, here's
most
the thing
people
is, like,
have
I
made
think,
their peace with I, their with their dumb families.
I honestly think Bernie could win in 2020, and he would be the only one at a national level who I would have any kind of, you know, interest in. But I would want to know who he could. He literally couldn't even nominate somebody for
upset.
Fucking vice president, who would probably be president when he dies,
Barbara
yelling
Lee.
At somebody about corned beef.
Give me Barbara Lee. Give me Barbara Lee.
Double coleslaw. Double coleslaw. Two. I need double coleslaw.
Well, Amber, to your point also, I mean, Corbyn is like your cool grandpa who comes over sometimes and will show you his big book of trains and even lend it to you if you're good. And
be
you,
careful.
And you oppose Israel.
The perfect grandparent.
The weird thing about Corbyn is when you go back and you read like the very big, dense, boring histories of the Labour Party, he does not exist. Like, he was such a fucking sleeper.
He's a spook.
Oh, yeah. Like, he didn't do anything for 30 years.
He's just like...
He collects pictures of storm drains and told the media, well, it doesn't... My hobbies don't hurt anyone.
And it's true, Dan. It's true.
I sympathize with that.
Don't make fun of me for my preferences. I enjoy a good storm drain and a gollywog.
They do have a train-based society, too, in the UK, it's an asset.
Okay, this is what I wanted to read. This is the kind of shit that Jeremy Corbyn has been quietly doing, just quietly being a good and consistent politician throughout his entire career. Early day motion, 12:55. Primary sponsor, Tony Banks. The title is Pigeon Bombs. That this house is appalled but barely surprised at the revelations in M15 files regarding the bizarre and inhumane proposals to use pigeons as flying bombs, recognizes the important and life-saving roles of carrier pigeons in two world wars, and wonders at the lack of gratitude towards these gentle creatures, and believes that humans represent the most obscene, perverted, cruel, uncivilized, and lethal species ever to inhabit the planet, and looks forward to the day when the inevitable asteroid slams into the Earth and wipes them out, thus giving nature the opportunity to start again. Endorsements: Tony Banks, John McDonnell, and Jeremy fucking Corbyn.
He's a friend of birds. He's Dr. Doolittle.
Wait. Amendment. Line 6 leaves out from Earth and insert when humans and other creatures may, with luck, have the chance to live together again. Parliament is so metal. Our politics are so fucking stupid. That shit rules.
Excuse me, but you gotta really have the guts and vision to decide to name a fucking post office after Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, every like, all the rules in our Senate are like, when you even address another senator, it's like, it's almost like performative media friendship. It's like, will my kind, beautiful, wonderful friend from Mississippi please rise and answer for your comment that people from Thailand are a type of bug?
You know, here's who we should run for New York mayor after de Blasio was termed out. Bo Dietl again. But if he says no, that guy who keeps hijacking New York subway trains.
Yes!
And making them run so efficiently. He is my hero. Yeah.
Well,
I fucking love him.
Actually, he was unjustly prosecuted.
All he does is run the route.
And they're so on time.
He fucking kicks ass. He could fix the entire thing. And that's a bullshit prosecution. Talk about capricious prosecution. Yeah. He's better than anyone they had. Like, Jesus, fuck.
I mean, if I were a subway driver, I'd let him run the train for me, and I'd just hit the bar all day. It'd be great.
Apparently, he's well liked by the MTA people.
Oh, that makes sense.
He's a folk hero.
He's really interested. Yes, he is.
We live in a time without heroes. It's one of the few we have.
He stole a bus too, and he just drove the route.
Probably very well.
Yeah.
Hail to the bus driver, man. So I have sort of a mini reading series here. This is a Facebook post from Greta Van Susteren. You guys know Greta Van Susteren.
Oh, right.
Greta Van Susteren.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a Facebook post from Greta Van Susteren. I'm just going to read here.
I don't like the name Greta. It just sounds kind of gross to me.
Well, also with the van, it's a little much. It's a little too
pretty, pretty Third Reich-y.
It's a little Man in the High Castle.
That's like what Hitler's intern would be called.
Unpaid.
I thank you for the opportunity, my Führer. Please write a letter of recommendation to Grubhub.
The import of this Facebook post will become clear almost instantly. So Greta writes here, free and coming November 14th to the App Store. Snapchat and Instagram are about to get some competition. This will be fun and hopefully get us all thinking. Chances are you may need my new app, all caps, at least once in a while, or know someone who does need it, and maybe more than once in a while. I know I have needed this app.
By the way, this is the Zodiac speaking.
Yeah. App is in all caps throughout.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, this is the app I have been working on for more than a year. It is an exciting project for me.
I learned to code.
Mostly because it is a completely new field.
Those who download it will be my slaves in the afterlife.
I love coding apps because it's even more fun than getting your rocks off.
You know Greta's a Scientologist, right?
Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fuck, I did not. How did I not know that? Oh, my God.
It's a whole new dimension. This is now extra dark.
He says, mostly because this is a completely new field. It is neither law nor news media. I came up with this app idea and started working on it when I left Fox last September 1st, 2016. And I never dreamed I could actually make it reality. Me? An app. Without telling you too many details, the app will explain all. More features will roll out over time. It has been fun working on it, even when my husband has teased me when I have not been at my best, saying, "You need the app," which then makes us both laugh and all is well. They sound like a great marriage.
What the fuck?
We love each other very much.
Gabbo is coming.
I'm imagining that. On that stupid fucking movie poster for The Snowman, the little sad snowman, and it says, "The app will explain all."
I gave you all the clues, Mr. App Man. So it goes, yes, you know, you've got mail. Well, I am hoping people will start saying you need the app. But in good spirit. This
sounds like
what is What is could, the app?
Is this a fortune cookie?
I need to read this again.
I need the app. Give me the app.
Listen to this sentence, though. I need to play this back. Yes, you know, you've got mail. Well, I am hoping people will start saying, you need the app, but in good spirit. When does people say you've got mail in, like, bad spirit?
Oh, that's in my shitty science
you've
fiction.
You've got mail, motherfucker.
Science fiction novel that I'm writing, where an AI is taken over by an AOL 500 hours of free internet CD.
The people who've said you got mail, sadly, are those who worked for people who were victims of the Unabomber.
I mean, that's what I say when I dunk on someone, so I get it.
That's what I say when
that
I
that whole sentence sounded like it should have been yelled by Mr. Sparkle. In good spirit! Can you resist it? It is the app! Can you do anything less?
Dr. Greta Van Bronner's.
Jesus. You know what this is? This is Bronner's soap. This is the shit on the Bronner soap thing, but it is actually, yeah. It's that long, too. Like, this is the longest
I was thinking about Bronner's soap the other day. Bronner's soap fucking rocks because if you wanted to be a fucking crank maniac and you wanted people to read your insane tract, unless it was really good, like, protocols, you had to... You had to make a product that you could write it on. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's...
I fully endorse the doctor, though.
Yeah.
Well, I fuck with it. I fuck with it.
All one.
I use it for everything.
That's our religion, is the Dr. Bronner religion.
People always ask.
I found a prize in my bottle of Dr. Bronner soap.
Okay, back to the app. So, Greta writes, you will get to accept or reject... this is her explaining what the app is, okay? She says... You will get to accept or reject apologies from a friend kept private between you and your friend, or accept or reject apologies of public figures, which we will all get to see and vote to accept or reject. We all get to see what others think about accept or reject of public apologies when we see the numbers roll in on those very public apologies. E.g., imagine if you and everybody else got to vote accept or reject when Kathy Griffin apologized. Was it enough or not? And how would she know if her apology was accepted without
so
the vote
dark.
Counter?
This is so
this
dark.
This is Shirley Jackson's The Lottery 2.0.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Holy and she's fuck. Like, it's so fun. Like, what if we all just became a collective? I call it Pitchfork.
This is like if the Inquisition had angel investors. This is fucking
this
horrifying.
This is
because,
terrible.
Or Howie Stone the Heretic.
Record, I could run over your child and I would not give a fucking public apology. I might apologize to you, but I think we've learned that public apologies do not work. They're only meant to, like, protect your career anyway. So just so you know.
Accepted. There's no point in doing it.
There's no point in doing it. So you know, I will never, ever publicly apologize for something I did to you.
Well,
ever.
What about the app, Amber?
No.
What about the app?
I refuse to participate in this fucking dystopian future that Greta Van Susteren, Scientologist, and probably Nazi is trying to sell us.
Wait, tell me more about the app.
Okay. Well, here's another example. How about when a cable news network apologizes for a blunder? A politician for cheating on a spouse? Dove soap for that commercial?
What one?
The one where, like,
the woman washes off her melanin.
That was
pretty astoundingly.
That was fucking holy
that
shit.
That was the because sometimes when I see people get mad at commercials, I kind of roll my eyes like you're just looking for something.
I'm already rolling my eyes. I'm sorry.
I'll explain it to you. It's a black woman looking into the mirror in a bathroom, and she's got a bar of soap. Next image is her sort of like rubbing, and at the end of it, she's a white woman.
Okay, that's bad optics. However, though,
Amber,
this
do you
is like,
write this ad?
This is Unilever. You know what? You'll never know because I'll never apologize. This is Unilever, the fucking date rape soap people. So I'm sorry, you're not gonna like. They make Axe too. Like I'm never going to expect anything good from them.
Axe is for like male feminists now.
That's a good
Axe. Like,
are they rebranded?
No, yeah, I think like Axe probably had. I saw
because for a while, like when I was in high school.
Oh yeah,
like,
then it was yeah.
It was like literally like
their logo
Silence
was like the
means
shocker.
Yes, yeah. And you know it's like
go
buy
for
our
it.
Soap.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but now like they did an ad that was like about like male vulnerability, which is fucking worse than anything they were ever associated with before.
Yeah,
that's
no,
fucking
that's
gross.
Terrible.
Stop
yeah.
crying. Grow the fuck up.
Just make
never
soap.
Show emotions.
Yeah,
if you're
just
a human
make,
just
male.
Be Dr. Bronner.
Yeah, look,
just be normal like Dr. Bronner.
Dr. Bronner didn't bother everybody with his feelings. He wasn't a weird sex pervert. He was
that we know of.
Do you know? Do you know the Dr. Bronner story?
Oh no.
So do you know why he was like that?
Oh no. Why?
So, so he left Germany.
And he
was like, "Hey fam, maybe you should come to America. I feel like things are getting real bad for the Jews over there." And the last postcard he got from his family just said, "You were right."
Oh god.
If only they'd had bottles of soap.
It was accept or reject.
Well, is there any more information about
Jesus,
the app?
Jesus, it's so long.
Get to the app.
I need more information
app. Sorry, one more example of like, she uses the Dove soap example. One more example is, even India's biggest airline is apologizing today.
What'd they do?
They let untouchables on a plane.
No ballots, right. No prescribed tests.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I have no idea what they're apologizing for. It is just endless. But that is just a tease. We have done the research, and people apologize.
She's teased twice, and so I'm sorry.
Says,
that's a very sexual
she says,
word.
We have,
I'm really uncomfortable.
We have done the research, and people apologize on social media more than 475,000 times a day. And just Google the word sorry, apologize, apology, and see the celebrities out there and the corporations and even nations apologizing. So many more details and features to come. In the meantime, here is what you will want to look for in the App Store starting November 14th. Share this post, please.
Never.
That's it.
I want it.
Never.
I want it.
But I will be burned like Joan of Arc for a tasteless joke before I will ever publicly apologize. And I think the fact that this app exists means that I am on the right side of history.
Yeah.
I am going to become a power user of Greta Van Susteren's sorry app. I'm going to get all the badges. I'm going to get high rank. They're going to make me a mod of the apologies.
Yeah, Virgil like sees this as like a new Overwatch you can play. The apology game.
But how, she's saying, celebrities, countries, companies all apologize all the time. But what's going to make them apologize on her app?
You know what this is? This is an app Peggy Hill would make.
Yes. Fox News fucking rocks.
The fact
dude.
That this exists proves that the fucking Silicon Valley VC bubble has reached an absolutely critical mass, and you guys should legitimately just buy gold because the whole thing's going to collapse. The whole thing's going to collapse. Within
the
next year, it's going to lead to Great Depression 2.0. You're going to need a gun and a fucking survival bag and a country estate to survive in because this is the end of the world. If that fucking thing can get funded, then this is all going to fall apart. Instantly.
I don't think it's funded. I think it's her passion project.
She said it's coming out.
Yeah.
Look
you
for
don't,
it.
You yeah, don't need funding to make it
happen. I had to guess it was self-funded.
Yeah.
We'll see. If I see a single Subway ad for this, I'm buying a disused missile silo in the Great American Plains, and I'm going to wait this out.
Yeah, Mark Andreessen gave this $500 million in their Series B.
I mean, we are going to go to Great Depression, too. Because everything's overvalued, too much cheap money, everything's stupid. Now there's just a bunch of corporations who compete over who can lose money the slowest. And it's going to happen. We're going to have World War II, Part 2, also known as World War 3.
No, that'd be World War 4.
We're two and two. Oh, God. Yeah, this is why you're the election guy. The math abilities. But we're going to be Band of Brothers.
I want to say, and sister.
Amber, you're coming with us.
All right.
I want to say my money's not cheap. My money's real good.
My money real good right now. Oh, the best video I've ever seen online.
Well, before we sign off for this episode, I think, Virgil, you wanted to make a prediction and maybe put another bet down based on elections coming up?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but there's some weird news coming out of Alabama recently that we haven't really had.
You heard about this? You heard about the
wrong
war guy?
The small town pedophile.
Well, we didn't really have time to go over it, but...
we will in the future, I think.
Yeah, I think so, as this drama continues to unfold. But as it stands now, Flash Poll came out the day of the allegations, showing it a tied-up race between Doug Jones and Judge Roy Moore. There's the possibility that the election is postponed, that Moore is bounced from the ballot, or that a write-in campaign is mounted. But, Matt, assuming that the election takes place as scheduled next month and that it's one-on-one, Jones versus Moore, no big write-in campaign, who you got?
Roy Moore, by 5 points. I'll say it confidently and without hesitation, and I would put actual money on it instead of our enjoyable little japery and online quasi-bets. I will put real legal tender, fiat fucking currency. That
Virgil, will
wins.
You accept or reject in the app?
Well, well, there's a lot of undecideds in that poll, and they're all Republican, basically. They either stay home or they write in Mickey Mouse on the ballot or they go home. I don't know. It's hard. I think it'll be close, though.
Well, if that's it's not what the bet is, motherfucker. The bet is Jones or Moore. I'm putting my money on Jones. No hesitation.
You said
Hell
Jones.
World, baby.
Putting money on Moore.
Right. I'm sorry. Moore. Hell World, baby. Doing it. Roy Moore.
Say,
next breath.
Well, here's the thing.
The guy's going to show up to the Senate with his root beer fruit roll-up vest and his little gun. He's going to shoot the Bible and go, pew, pew. I vow to be a good senator. Pew, pew. I'm a little cowboy.
Roy Moore and his pussy infant vest for babies and his little cute baby gun allows him to take eighth graders to the malt shop. Yeah.
I got to say, I got some of the sarsaparilla in me, and I would say if it's one-on-one, Jones in a squeaker.
Okay, baby.
Okay, we got a bet.
All right.
Excellent. We got
a bet. But if there is a write-in campaign, if it happens in December, and if there is one, if Strange or someone else runs a write-in campaign, I think it's Jones, period.
I don't know, man. Moore's going to be stabbed.
Moore's going to win no matter what. I'll put fucking Mark
Moore's
going to
be stabbed outside a roller rink.
No, I think like there's going to be... Like a week, there's already a backlash against the people reporting on this. So I think there's going to be like it's going to be a net positive for
because
Moore.
Here's what the average shithead shud in
news.
Alabama who make up the majority of Alabama voters is going to think: the fake news Washington Post is attacking Roy Moore. That means he's going to be a threat to the establishment.
Yeah.
I'm voting for him. Now you're in fucking tea.
Yeah, now I definitely think Moore
will
win.
Putting it down.
And it's
I kind of was persuaded by how the fundamentals favored Northam, but I wanted to, you know, be invested in my hell world pessimism, and so I was a good sport and I said Gillespie would win, but there was in my mind
actually you were right.
No, I was wrong, but in the back of my mind I was thinking you might be wrong about this, but my entire brain is 100% convinced that regardless of the scenario, Roy Moore will win.
I'm not confident, Jones, and I think your hell world thesis is strong. It's early to say. Let's revisit it, but. I don't know. I mean,
I think there's going to be a dads of daughters backlash.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the only thing they'll be hearing about for the next month. It's not like the pussy grabber tape.
Yeah, I think.
Well, whatever. We have the bet sealed. He already fucking.
Well, no. I reserve the right. Revisit that.
Yeah. You're locked in, buddy.
You gotta lock it in.
Yeah, you gotta commit to it now.
That's how you gamble, buddy.
And it's like you fucked up. You fucked up because not only is there going to be backlash against it, you know, being the media because everyone's tribal and insane now. Roy Moore just has good ideas and good policies.
All right.
He's a hog.
Here's the deal.
He's a fucking snack.
Matt. Nice. I don't believe this with more than like 50% conviction. And I'll say if they don't postpone the election, if they don't do some fucked up like court hijinks to replace Moore on the ballot, which would be, you know, plainly against the law.
Right, that invalidates all wagers, obviously.
All right, fine. I'll stick with Jones. Okay. Awesome. Again, I'm not confident.
Whatever. Locked in.
Shake on it. Okay.
All right.
Winner gets accolades. Loser touches a piece of poop.
Oh, you mean the Bible that Roy Moore swears in on?
All right. That's it for this week, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
You know, it's up for me, man. Money really good over here, nigga. I don't give a fuck, nigga. You hear me? Money good, nigga.
Back again, the Addams Family. New baby in the house makes three. Wednesday, Pugsley, lurch you.